And so, just like the constant, never-ending threat of being killed by a Thundernado, we're back with another windy, blustery, I don't fucking know, episode of What Are We Even Doing?
I thought we were going to be in Oz. Like, last night, I was just driving around, and the siren is blaring.
Yeah.
Rain all over the place. I'm like, I need to go home. Now.
It's been very off and on, which makes it kind of worse, because then I wake up and I go outside and I'm like, oh, it's nice out. And then I check the weather app like I always do. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be short-lived. And then it is. And then it comes back. And I'm like, oh, yay, hope. And then it's gone again. Anyways.
Anyhoozle.
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Deece.
Yeah.
What a world.
Yeah.
What a life.
It's an existence.
You know what I was thinking when I'm like, what is this movie that I saw last night? Or not, was it last night or was it the night before?
Night before.
Obsession.
Mm. Yep.
We've all seen it, yes?
Yes.
Very good. Phenomenal movie. Something I realized that like just today as I'm just like driving. Mm. Everybody listening, spoilers in 3, 2, 1. Last chance. Okay. Yeah, you know the $1 billion that we were all like, fuck it. Like, Nikki, just take it and run.
Yeah.
Dude died. So the $1 billion is gone. Your wish gets undone when you die.
Oh, shit. You're so right. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So she's just there with multiple dead, an overdose, a
beaten
to shit victim.
It's even worse.
Person she actually murdered, too.
Yes.
And I'm sure there's video footage of.
He was poor. They didn't have enough. For surveillance?
Weren't they at the radio shop?
No, she shot him at
I was talking about her killing Sarah.
Oh, yeah. You know.
There's at least gotta be her, some...
No, that was outside of Bear's house.
Like yeah, but park. Weren't they at the... Never mind. Anywho. Yeah,
speaking of which, this bitch knows she's crazy, right? All she knows is that she, like, went on this complete tirade at a party, stabbed herself in the eye so many times, right? Tell me why you think it's a good idea to ask her man at 3 a.m.
I sent this.
I sent this to you, right?
Yeah.
It's a good point, and it's one of those things that, like, I hate doing it for horror because it's usually my favorite genre, but, man, there's so many times where it's like, if you do that whole, like, would I do this in this situation, they all fall apart, like, instantaneously.
Yeah.
We're still talking about the movie if you're trying to skip ahead.
I love that. I saw that on Instagram Reels too, but the comment underneath was like, well, she had to find out, like, why that dick made her friend so crazy.
Right? But no, yeah. Man, that movie was so fucked. Apparently, like, when he opens the One Wish Willow the second time, because he's already made a wish, the jingle's different than the first time he opened it up.
Oh, like that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Like, the director's literally just going around, like, telling people, like, oh, yeah, these are all the little tidbits that nobody's found out yet. Here you go.
Curry Barker is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been a fan of him in the comedic sense on, like, in short-form comedy for a while. And I did not expect to jump to being a director.
I didn't realize
he's also lined up to do a Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
I didn't realize that he was the director. Because, I've seen him, like, in short-form comedy online.
Yeah.
Like, Instagram or whatever. We're still talking about it. Just so you know. Skip ahead a little more.
15.
So, yeah, no, it's... Oh, man, that movie was so fucking good.
Reaching my bed. Him doing that Texas Chainsaw thing has me pretty... My interest is pretty high.
Yeah.
I want to see what that looks like. I also am really interested in this... the next thing he's doing, this Anything But Ghosts.
Yeah. Yeah, that too.
Pretty cool.
Apparently in the same universe.
Uni.
Yeah, I've heard that.
In the Curry Barker verse.
I hope that there's just like an anthology style thing.
He said he wants to do a TV series of the One Wish Willow.
No. I have a special opening bell.
Yes.
Okay, so there's a soda shop in Utica that Nina and I are going to start frequenting. And we've just, we've gone one time. Yeah. And there was this one soda that it caught my eye. And I knew that not only was I going to buy it, I was going to enjoy it on the podcast.
Indeed.
All right.
Because the name is none other than Cock Cola. Featuring a rooster on the front.
It's got that strong what taste?
What does it say at the bottom of that? Strong cola taste.
Oh!
Okay.
Thank God it's a strong cola taste. tangent.
Hey, we're not talking about the movie anymore, so you can just go ahead and hit play. Hey, you're good.
This isn't Twist Off.
I
just realized.
Bottle opener proper.
Connor's got him.
Yeah. Okay. I was gonna say.
If not, I got one of my keys.
You usually have that.
You keep that thing on you. God damn it.
Wait, whoa, hold on.
Are we ready?
On your marks.
Get set. Ring it.
No!
Oh, shit.
You need to get more of a grip on it.
It's almost as if Connor's a fucking bartender.
You need me to...
He's off the clock.
Here. I have the... Here. Oh, I bent it.
Everyone go to FYA, LaSalle's living room.
Is that the actual...
Yeah.
Well, tagline?
Yeah. I would get it if the fucking thing was actually strong enough.
Okay, don't worry about it. Papa's gotcha.
Boom. I need... I cannot wait to see this
reaction.
I bent
the metal, I'm that strong.
It's fucking Magneto over here.
All right. Kohler.
Cock.
Wait.
What flavor seltzer you got? Penis. Human penis.
Cock-a-top again.
I actually hate that I said that on a recorded medium.
No, but you did. Stuff.
We're going to isolate that.
Yep.
Oh, you said specifically you had something you wanted to talk about on the undercard.
Yeah.
Very excited
about. I think I realized what my least favorite wrestling trope is.
Yes.
And it is more of a recent thing.
Wow.
I think.
Cool, because, man, there's a never-ending stream of tropes of wrestling that irritate and vex me. Stay tuned for the main event, guys. Let's hear it.
Fighting spirit.
It's overdone.
Yeah, done. Out of it. Fight through the pain. That's different.
Yeah.
Fighting spirit is over.
What are you defining
We're
as
done.
Fighting spirit?
The no-selling is the biggest culprit of it.
Yeah.
Because, like... I think
brother.
What it was is, and I like Will Ospreay, I really do, but I saw him quote tweet something that someone was like, oh, I bet this guy kicked out of this fucking devastating head drop or something like that. And he quote tweeted it and said, oh, I'm sorry our wrestlers have more fighting spirit than theirs, or something like that. And I was just like, no, you're defending... I think it was a pile driver off the middle rope. And I was like, stop.
You can't do that.
My thing with, like, when I hear, like, the phrase, the fighting spirit, I always just picture the, you get dumped, you get up, and you just, you know, both fists in front of you, ha! And then you smoke the guy with something.
Yeah, I just think fighting spirit as a concept, I think more broadly than, like, a spot, per se. Kicking out of too much shit because you have fighting spirit.
I think that, like it's just, it's, here's the trap. This is how this shit happens, right?
Yeah.
And it's happening with what you're describing right now. Somebody in wrestling somewhere does something, and it gets massively over.
Yes.
Then somebody else sees the thing get massively over, and they think, oh, wow, awesome. And then they do it.
Yeah.
And maybe it does and maybe it does not because they haven't replicated the setting. They haven't, you know what I mean? Like some,
right.
We all love Joe versus Kobashi. I would argue that two guys doing that match move for move now would not get that reaction. Even if it was like built, you know, it just
not
doesn't.
Not a lot of it is earned.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's just not earned. Like,
yeah,
it's
a great way to put it.
Yeah, like... peeling back the curtain a little bit, usually with like I have somebody in like a hold or something like that, people immediately are just like, because that's what they're conditioned, like, oh, we're about to go to something, and then as soon as we get there, I bring that shit right back down. I'm like, no.
Now is that you dictating the pace, or is it you being like, I gotta breathe, baby, I need to sit this hold a little longer, daddy.
do you I don't get blown up in matches, Tom.
No, of course not.
I stay blown up. I'm blown up before the ring bell, brother. You see my entrance? Why do you think I walk so slow? Because I'm like, goddamn, that one how takes me out. Takes me out. I'm like, oh, let's walk and talk.
No, lighten up on this tie-up, baby. My knees.
Like, Connor's absolutely right. It's all just, like, fucking learned behavior. It's programmed.
It's,
you just know that because that's just what it's supposed to be, right? So it's not over. It's just what they know. But if you can get over with something they don't know, that's the beauty of it.
I don't disagree with you, by the way, on, like, the fighting spirit thing being done too much. But, like, I think Connor nailed it. Like, when it's earned, it's fucking beautiful. Like,
yeah,
we can all sit here and
listen. But they're fucking going out on dynamite and going
second
fucking,
match on the card.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's,
never
it's
touched before.
Silly. Like, I hate fucking it.
Have a 6-minute match.
I would.
No falsies.
I would.
Pin you, pay you.
One of the last matches I had was 3 minutes 22 seconds.
Let's go.
I'll play by the hour, baby.
One of my things, too, is, like, I like tier-based wrestling. I like when you have your top guys, you have your, like, higher-up guys, your mid-card guy, your upper mid-card, your mid, you know, whatever, all the way down to, like,
a lot of tiers.
A lot of tiers. No, but here's the thing. I like having that because then...
Because each tier of guy gets their own fucking powers and power level. If you're a fucking tier one guy, you only have one move and you have a falsie and that is it. If you're a fucking top tier guy, you have unlimited moves and unlimited falsies and you can kick out of everything. Like,
no.
People don't understand that it's not... It's just a fucking video game with your little guys and you're just doing...
There's
like,
a little guy in there.
Holy shit, just play by your level. That's all that it is. I am so sick of seeing dudes go... Like, in openers and shit, again, like...
In pre-shows that we've seen.
Yeah.
Oh, my God,
and doing,
man.
Like,
recently.
All of these fucking... Man, I, like, whenever I'm in a position where I am on early and in a nothing match or, you know, in a pre-show match or whatever, I go, cool, here is my one thing that I want to do.
Sure.
That's all I have. Otherwise, you are getting punch, kick, wrestling hold, like, you know, just whatever wrestling, like... It's such a lost art having like that less is more mentality.
I know for sure. Like, I don't know. In nerd terms, I think of it as, would Scorpion be able to do the same things as Kingpin can? Absolutely not. But on the street, at his level, he's the big dog.
Right.
He wants to mess them. None of that. You go up tiers, then you got fucking Green Goblin, right?
Right.
He can't stand fucking Campbell, Green Goblin.
The reason that I like having that many tiers on a roster is also because it makes it easier for somebody to change tiers.
Yeah,
if,
that's fair.
When you only have, you know, your absolute tip-top guys and then everyone else, WWE, like, it makes it really hard for somebody who's in that everyone else bracket to become a top-tier guy because there is no progression. Where it's like, if you're like a fucking job boy bitch, maybe you can move up to tier of... offense has happened and then you die. But what pisses me off about like current wrestling is this insistence. And people that I like do it. Moxley does this all the time. You don't have to go 50-50 with everybody, bud. You're a tip-top fucking guy. And even if the guy that you're working with this week is a good professional wrestler, he's on television, he's clearly got something, right? Bro, you're up here. Shane Taylor is down here. Why the fuck is this match taking more than 10 minutes? Like,
it's because what the average wrestler, I guess, wants out of wrestling has changed. They used to want to work a crowd. Now they want to do their moves.
No, man.
It's TV. It's much more of a screen. I can't even say TV because phones. Old. It's everything is much more of a TV product now. Everything is so much more of a screen product.
And everybody just wants to be cool, too. Like, think about it. Like you were saying, like, you don't have to go 50-50 with everybody. Gunther's going to have a different match with Cody Rhodes as he's going to have with Chad Gable as he's going to have with Akira Tozawa.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, 50-50 with Cody. 70-30 with fucking...
Absolutely.
Fucking Chad. And then 10-90.
That's what it should
slip
be.
Slip on a banana peel type shit.
Right.
And it's... But that's the thing. That's the way it should be. That's why when that match did happen, it was over as fuck.
I bet.
I remember watching the match going, holy shit, this is fucking perfect. This is how a match should be with a main event guy and, like, an up-and-coming guy.
Like, one of the things about... While we're on the topic, one of the other things about, like, current wrestling specific, and I'm talking TV wrestling, because we could talk about, like, current wrestling that's not televised for ages as well. I feel like so few people genuinely move up the card now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so few, like, all TV wrestling is sucking at making new stars currently.
It's static. You debut in a spot, and you stay at that spot, or you go lower, but you never go above whatever you're brought in as.
So, right. Question for you guys. I find that to be very true with, like, WWE. Like, AEW, I feel like guys are, like, they're almost, like, at a point, and then they get, like, up to the main event, and then they're back down, and then it's like they're more like sporadically all over the place.
That's true.
With like their top guys, and I mean, like, obviously they have their Moxleys, they have their fucking
Takeshi Mox Omega. Yeah. Like these guys are going to be at the top of the card, and like you know, that's fine. You need those guys there, but I can't even use the whole like oh it's a new company. They've been around 7 years now. Mm-hmm. Like you, I would argue there's been people that they have made. Don't get me wrong, but. To your point, they get made to a certain level, and then it's like, you just live here now. Mm-hmm. Swerve Strickland. They made Swerve Strickland. And he's still a top guy. He's in the finals for the Owen tournament this year. It's him and Ospreay. That's going to fucking rule. But, like, outside of that and a couple other guys, it's like, they haven't, like, made anybody. Like, all the people that they've got were hot when they had them. Like, from the get-go, you know? Yeah. Like, MJF, sure, like that. I mean, an argument you made there, but, like, he was already kind of a hot star when he debuted. Like, don't get me wrong, world champ, main event.
They paired him up with Cody, like...
instantly.
Yeah.
One of his first big feuds after that was Jericho. Yeah. Like
he was always gonna be a top guy.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a big problem with wrestling in both companies, where they, like, people get pushed to a certain point, and then they plateau, and then they might go lower, and if they go back up... they're only ever going to go as high as that ceiling is, because that's their ceiling for life. Yeah. And if they win the world championship, that's because the world championship has been brought down to
right.
their ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Jey Uso.
You're right. Your Jey Uso's, like, even though I'm a big fan of the guy, your Drew McIntyre's even, like, it's the Seth belt. Like, you know, like, I can't, like, while we're on the topic of, like, current wrestling and making new stars, they gave away Obafemi losing.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he's still super unbelievably over. I guess in the end, it is what it is. But at the same time, I'm like, can you imagine how much more of a massive fucking deal you could have had?
Yeah.
Like, and it was sitting right fucking there, and for what? For another match with Lesnar that
nobody wants to see.
It almost feels
like... it doesn't
like...
mean anything.
No.
It's literally, like, no, that's just fucking... I'll say it all accordingly. Seems like TKO just being like, hey, no, listen, your contract clearly states that you got to be here and retire in SummerSlam.
Sure.
So you will stay here until SummerSlam. Because I feel like Brock was just like, nah, fuck that, I'm leaving. Like,
maybe that's it. Like, but if that's it, if I knew that it was real life, just Brock being a fucking psychopath, be like, yeah, I'm in the moment here at Mania, I'm just going to fucking impromptu Irish goodbye my life, right? Like, I would be entertained by that.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what any of this was or is. I just think it's like, ah, fuck, we don't know what to do. Do it again. Like, I hate it.
Like, I feel like WWE, no matter who has owned them the whole time, well, not the whole time, in the last 26 years.
Sure.
Because 2000 just marked the beginning of a downward spiral.
It really did. We're not far from, well, one.
Oh, one.
2000 started though with the greatest event of the millennium.
That's true.
The 2000 Royal Rumble.
Like, listen, they weren't cooked until 2001.
Right.
And I stand by it.
Mania 17
should
have been a series finale.
Dude, as insane as it sounds, and I know that like neither of these companies were firing on half of their cylinders at the time. WCW and ECW going under in 2001. There not being any alternative or any competition, I hear you, TNA people. We're going to get to you in just a fucking minute, believe you me. But like, outside of that, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of was the start of that.
Yeah.
Like, down, like...
give me till Mania 20 and then just end it.
I wonder...
where it all ends.
Have you ever been
for a goddamn second.
Instead of where it all begins again, where it all ends for good.
I mean it. Where it all ends. I really fucking...
they should have done the fucking Vince McMahon limo explode at Mania 20, and that could have just been curtains.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say for, like, the company, so I was picturing just a giant WWE logo goes to get into the fucking limo.
Yes, that.
Its foot comes out for just a second. The corner
its
goes
foot!
Down.
Like, it's okay. Like the Hamburger Helper glove, but a WWE logo.
Basically, yes. Nina, Would you be so kind as to jump into the fridge for me?
Jump into
get,
the
I'm
fridge?
I'm going to need you to get you all I mean. The way in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to jump into the fridge.
Hold up. Guys, so we're doing something slightly different today.
We've done it before.
Never with a full cast, though.
Yeah, I thought this was a watch-along.
You didn't do it again, did you?
Nope. And this time, Tom?
Yeah.
I feel no remorse.
Why?
And actually, I hate you.
We tried to do a watch-along on this one time and then instantly realized it was impossible to do the watch-along because how would you ever sync up to a random streaming service?
Because sometimes people just like to listen to us watch things.
Yeah, actually.
Fair enough.
Which is why, actually, I have a pitch for a Patreon episode to do immediately following this that Braden, who is already the stickiest co-signer, has agreed to.
All right, ooh, I'm on board.
Watch along of Joe Necro since today is the 21st anniversary.
Okay.
For the Patreon.
I'm down for that. And also today is the anniversary of Jurassic Park coming out in theaters.
And it's also the anniversary of Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
A pivotal moment in entertainment.
On this day, June 11th.
I thought you were singing Metalingus.
Yeah, that's where I thought that was
on
going.
This day,
Jurassic Park came out. So what
I feel like we've talked about this before.
It changed Tom's life.
What's some random thing that you hear that you immediately go into song about?
It's been a while.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
That's the one.
It's hard to say the sentence and without that accent at this point. I hate how much it's permeating.
When somebody says, well, my brain goes, well.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
One of my favorites. One of my favorites. When it's a big bird,
it doesn't happen that often, but when, like, people outside of wrestling say just Big Show, I kind of have a similar thing where they're like, oh, yeah, I heard you had a Big Show recently. I'm like, oh, I don't know about that. Like,
that wasn't the Big Show. His first name's the.
Oh, Cajun Castle used to have this bit where they would Big Show people, and it was just screaming, well, in their face, like, sporadically. Jesus. And one time I remember Cage posted this video of him in Vegas visiting his family, and he goes, my little brother is in the bathroom right now flossing his teeth, but he doesn't know he's about to get hit with a Big Show. And it was just footage of Cage running into the bathroom with his kids standing in front of the mirror cleaning his teeth, and just goes, well!
Jesus.
So anyways, most of us watched 60 minutes of TNA on Pluto TV.
I've watched more TNA than you could possibly fucking imagine. Don't shit your little boy britches.
He's
over
actually
it.
Watched...
I'll talk about a fucking hour of TNA. I can come up with any fucking hour you want, any fucking time you want, you little pansy-ass bitch.
He's probably
I'll
actually...
fucking kill you. I watched Spider-Noir. Hey. In black and white.
Great, okay, great show, right?
Don't fucking watch it in color. Watch it in black and white, you baby fucking bitches. Nicolas Cage is putting on a fucking masterclass.
So with that, in the first episode, if you watch it in black and white, he's walking down the street, and he tells the kid, he goes, he asks the kid, like, white tails, he following me? And the kid tells him, like, yeah, because the guy's following, right? If you watch it in true color, apparently the guy's wearing yellow. Why? Because it's shot for black and white, so fucking watch it in black and white.
Interesting.
I don't give a fuck about, like, whatever the new Marvel is that's supposed to be nuts.
Doomsday?
But, like, when I hear that Nick Cage is using his immense talent and fame to just film a 8-part noir, like, limited series, and it happens to do with Spider-Man, like... I'm so on board. He's so fucking good.
Did you know this is the first TV show he has ever done?
Really?
Which seemed impossible. And then I read, because I read that and was like, wait, that can't
be
right.
He always did movies for his money.
Yeah.
He never had to, he never resorted to TV.
What was was the movie that he did where it was basically Five Nights at Freddy's?
Willy's Wonderland.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Phenomenal movie. He doesn't say a fucking word. So I think the gimmick is, like, he was going to charge them per word in the movie.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think that's what the rumor was. And so they just, like, so... Because he didn't want to have any lines. So he charged them per word.
I choose that to
as,
be true.
Right.
The quote that I saw that got me to watch Spider-Noir, because I need to be sold on these things, but I saw it come up on social media, is basically, like, the director of Spider-Noir asked Nicolas Cage not to mumble... and like talk in that like 1930s style or whatever. And Nick Cage was having a hard time about it because he wanted to be like authentic. Uh-huh. And so apparently he asked Charlie Sheen what he should do. And Charlie Sheen said, is the guy's last name Sony? Then tell him to go fuck himself. And I said, I will be watching that.
That is amazing. So it's actually sincerely good, though?
It is. Like, genuinely, like, it's a really awesome, like, gangster, like, Double Indemnity type. Like, there's a bunch of references to old, like, 30s gangster movies that I don't even get half of, but I just watch them and go, I know you got that from somewhere.
Sure.
But it's just, like... It's lit beautifully. It's acted terrifically. What's his name from Banshees of Inisherin?
Gleason.
Yes.
Brendan Gleeson
is the big bad in it. He's Silvermane the gangster.
Okay.
And it's, like, he is fucking stellar in it. It's a whole thing. The Spider-Man bit doesn't even, like... matter for a lot of it,
right?
To be honest,
it's probably building towards that because typically those shows save those special effects budget dollars until
there's a decent dose of Spider-Man throughout.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I recommend it.
I'm sorry, they're loading the undercard today, but I have something that I wanted to put on this undercard.
Foreplay is the best play.
Yeah,
as they say.
Before we get into this,
yeah.
I saw a film called Power Ballad. Okay.
Okay.
And I went with Bailey to see this at the Davenport Cinemark.
Nice theater.
It is. I really nice enjoy that theater. It's a really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. It's Nick Jonas and Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd is an immediate at least one thumbs up for me.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd is in a wedding band that does covers of, like, the famous tunes.
I fucking need you now tonight.
Probably.
I fucking need you more than ever.
Probably not with the F word, but yeah.
It's a bit from the wedding singer. Like, three people who get that. Or no, not the wedding singer.
Old school.
Old school, yeah.
So then, like, famous former boy band guy is at the wedding, and per the request of the bride... has him sing one of the songs. Paul Rudd's jealous. Mm-hmm. He gets they join. He's like joins them in. So they sing it together. They end up forming a bond and jamming one night. And then through that, some musical knowledge might get passed along for one of them to rise to fame. And then get no credit for the other guy. It is really well acted.
Okay.
It's really well edited. It's something that I would never notice for a movie at all, but it is so succinct. There's not a scrap of fat on this movie. Everything that is in this movie is shown or said because of or to lead to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And like they there's a sequence in it where Nick Jonas's character writes the song or whatever, and it blows up, and then they show his rise to fame in, like, such a really cool, edited, succinct way that I'm like, you didn't have to fucking dwell on this. This didn't have to be a 2.5-hour movie. Like, mm-hmm. It could have probably been if it were, like, I don't know. It was just, there was something about it. It was just
put
together really well. And it got me. It got me to cry at the end, man.
Damn.
Yeah.
Disney. I want to check that out, and I keep checking like the theaters around here, and it's not playing, and that kind of pisses me off.
That pisses me off.
Pisses me right the fuck off.
I saw a trailer for a movie called Whale Fall.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And it's the scariest thing in the world to me. So I've watched the trailer several times.
Moonfall?
Somebody posited that, and I said, oh man, I need the Fallverse to be a thing.
Is it a whale falling out of the ocean?
No, it's a guy getting swallowed. Big whale? It's a big whale.
Like Noah. No, Jonas. Jonah.
Yeah, Jonah was the one who got swallowed by the whale.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
That's also true. John.
Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Yep.
His name. Get this?
Uh-huh.
You won't believe this.
No, I won't.
And the liberals don't want you to know this.
Oh, fuck them.
His name?
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
My name, too.
Fuck you.
Well, and whenever we go out.
Do people shout at you?
No. People always shout. There goes John Jacob Hammerschmidt.
That's bullshit, man. You're a world champion.
That's only part of my nickname of
high school. Oh, my God. Speaking of which.
Part of
John Jacob Jinkelheimer Schmitty Werben Jagerman Jensen. Is the whole
AKA number one.
Yeah.
Heard a story about Connor the other day, which is just fucking legendary. Apparently when you were had to lose for a Dreamwave after party, you went to go get a drink. And one of the waitresses was like, "Oh, you have a tab open. Like, you need to pay that." Connor goes, "No, it's not happening." She's like, "Well, I can't serve you." And Connor, without missing a beat, goes, "But I'm a world champion." Which is the most baller.
I love that.
That's like basically saying, like, "Oh, we can't hit a spear tonight because it's in the main event." And somebody going, "Oh, that's fine. I'll just hit a gore then." And then still doing it.
Love it's a little it. Different because I meant it. and I didn't pay that tab.
No, you did not.
Good.
I told him put it on Tom's tab.
You son of a bitch.
That's what I one time. They just wrote Tom? Question mark on the top of the
chat. I said no.
I said you don't write it on there. You just do it.
So 60 minutes of TNA on Pluto. Part of the fun for this to me is we're all going to watch this at different times, so if you're aware of how the Pluto TNA channel works, it's just a never-ending stream of whatever the fuck content is available to them from said company. So, I got to know, we'll start with Wolf. Wolf, when did you watch this? I took a ton of notes on this.
You took a ton of notes?
I took a ton of notes.
Ah, shit.
Well, when did you watch your 1 hour?
I actually broke up my hour.
Okay.
Because I wanted to get a little freaky-deaky with it. The initial one was Slammiversary.
Yep.
2023.
Okay.
It was a six-man match. Sorry.
It's poorly timed ad from T-Mobile.
Yeah, goddamn, sorry. No, it was a three-man triple threat tag match.
Like three teams?
Yes, three teams.
One guy from each team in at the same time?
Yes.
Sorry. I love that so much.
Hard to fucking... who was it? I can't remember because I watched this like 2 days ago. It really wasn't that good of a match, if I'm being completely honest with you. But I can go back to the match that I actually do remember watching. This was Chris Sabin versus Kenta for the X-Men Championship match.
Shit! Yes. I didn't even know that happened.
Yes. Very, very fucking good. A lot of people don't like Kenta because of the whole GTS thing.
Yeah.
But, like, him and Sabin actually had, like, really good chemistry, I felt like.
I remember... I will actually peel back a little curtain here. Once upon a time, having a talk to... I'm going to claim friend of the show, Mustafa Ali.
Oh, yeah.
And,
Mustafa.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Mustafa. It's the accent. So, like, me and him were chatting about this, that, and the other, and somehow Kenta got brought up. And he said, because he worked with him, like, a shit ton of times off and on in, like, 205, NXT, The Fed, whatever. And he said that, like, he always liked him, got along with him great, and said that, like, basically every so often it felt like he would just forget what country and company he was in. So they would, like, put match together, go out and do the thing, and it would be teetotally fine, everything's awesome. And then... next night, put match together, go out, and Kenta is just tagging the shit out of him on everything. And then come to the back, and he was just too totally fine. And then the next night, it was like, back to safe WWE-style work. And it was like, he would just... it was never like anything that, like, injured. It was just like he would shift back to 06 Noah for no fucking reason. And then the next day, just be like, oh, it's... an NXT house show in Coral Springs.
We're on 205 Live, brother.
Yeah. I did think it was funny during the match. He fucking did the whole, like, Chris Sabin was selling Kenta straight hard cam, does the go to sleep taunt.
Yeah.
And then just puts up a middle finger, does the throat gimmick, and then doesn't hit the GTS.
You know what's funny is I do recall also seeing this exact hour of TNA programming.
Did we say we
really? I also remember watching this exact hour of TNA.
So I can talk about Kenta versus Chris Sabin. Chris Sabin in the long black and white shorts like he should be.
Mm-hmm.
Although my Chris Sabin wears trunks.
So my first TNA action figure was actually Chris Sabin. I didn't know who Chris Sabin was at the time because I used to trade action figures.
He was the other Motor City Machine Gun that wasn't Alex Shelley.
Oh yeah, the one that I haven't beaten yet. Got it. No, I didn't know who he was. So ironically, I was like, oh, CM Punk now, and I put a little X's on his hands.
Oh,
and I was
okay.
Like, yeah, that's CM Punk.
That's funny.
Oh yeah, that works.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Chris Sabin was still doing this taunt too.
Yeah, and he had like this fucking tape all the way up on the forearms, had the trunks. Long hair, I said, good enough for me.
I like my Sabin and Sabin shorts, and I only ever refer to them as Sabin shorts.
Yeah.
Trunks Sabin was good in that, like, early prime TNA, like, the yellow and black trunks that I remember.
Yeah, the Hail Sabin dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, with the alien gimmick, like...
He did have an alien on those fuckers for no good reason.
Because Hail Sabin, dude, it's part of it. He's from hell, Michigan.
What?
So, I will
say...
Aliens
from hell.
Man, fucking, he has one of the prettiest crossbodies I like. Like, I've seen. It's not super high. It's just right directly to the opponent. But his form, the way he flings his legs back and his arms back.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He opens up the midsection. Like, Chris Sabin's one of those, like, just... He's somehow underrated and appropriately rated at the same time to me. Where it's, like, just a perfect in-ring mechanical wrestler.
I think it's because it's like, oh, Motor City Machine Guns. You know they are amazing... Top talent, fucking tag team, they're the absolute best.
Yeah.
Right? But when you think of Chris Sabin, you think of the Motor City Machine Guns and how great they are and how they're the best
tag
team ever.
Sure. Shelley kind of has his own style
that
stands out a bit more.
He is the... Would you say that Shelley is the Edge to Sabin's Christian?
I'm
almost flippant, I feel like.
Well, I kind of...
I don't know.
I don't know that I agree, but I know what you're getting at, in the sense that Christian is kind of the purest, the worker of the pair. Edge kind of just gets the more acclaim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shelley kind of does, like...
Not saying that Shelley
I don't think
is,
that
like,
it's
like,
as big a
lesser
gap.
Work. Like, respectfully, we all know that Christian's the better worker.
Right? Oh, yeah.
But I'm not, so I'm not saying that, like, Alex Shelley is is worse than Sabin, because they're
that's
both...
That's why I wanted to flip it.
Okay,
that's
fair.
Yeah, I
but,
see what you're saying.
I mean,
though.
In regards to how people view them.
Absolutely. Then,
yeah, I think the perception is pretty fair. What else was there?
Shelley went over with the fucking cradle shock,
and then Monster's Ball, true Monster's Ball from TNA, which I'm glad to see them getting back to their roots.
Oh shit.
Monster's Ball? Like
real
a cheese?
Real quick, guys. Real quick. I just looked kind of singles titles comparison for Shelley and Sabin. Sabin has a TNA World Heavyweight Championship.
Yep.
Shelley, Impact World Championship.
Yep.
Alex Shelley, one-time TNA X Division Champion. Chris Sabin, 10-time X Division Champion.
I knew Shelley had the X title. I didn't realize he only held it once. That's nuts.
And Sabin is the record holder for most X Division Championship wins in history.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
He was the X Division for a long time.
He's that guy. He's that dude, pal.
But,
dude, pal.
But it does say that Shelley has a better independent resume.
Interesting.
But Sabin still has the edge due to longevity.
I remember Sabin having a match with Samoa Joe, like, right when they first brought Joe into TNA, and he was unfuckwithable, right? And they had a pay-per-view match that kind of fit into that genre we were talking about earlier, about, like, just have a good 7-8-minute match.
Yeah.
And it was literally just, hey, Joe Sabin, go tear it up, but we know the end, you know what I mean? Like, the end result of this isn't really in question. But it was awesome. The clearest memory I have is Chris Sabin gave Samoa Joe a running Liger bomb, and it was perfect. And it was, but like they built to it, like they worked for it. It was something where like Joe goes up on the middle, so it wasn't even like he full on hoisted him.
Yeah.
But like just running with him across that ring and putting him down, like it was amazingly impressive. Joe fucking rules. Then, now, forever.
Yeah.
Like,
Was and that? Then the next match was Monster's Ball.
Oh, yeah.
Monster's Ball, which involved Moose.
Oh.
It involved Rhino.
Okay.
PCO.
Okay. Moose,
Rhino, PCO.
Yeah.
And
Steve Macklin.
Steve Macklin, that's right. Steve Macklin.
Am I the only one who watched a different hour?
No, Brayden watched a different hour.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe.
So...
What if they overlapped?
It's huge fucking pop. So actually, I went to, there's a Roku TNA channel as well.
Yep.
And I went from Roku one that had just like 60 minutes of Mayor Fuji. And then it was like commercial break. All right, we're going to Pluto.
Holy shit.
But they did the Monsters Ball where like they did, apparently was the original idea.
Yes.
Of having everybody locked in a, like basically a cell, no light, no nothing for 24 hours.
Which.
And then open up the door. Throw him to the ring.
Dude, one of my favorite small things ever was when they first, like, the first ever Monsters Ball, that was the bit. And they actually shot shit where they had, like, storage containers backstage at, like, the bottom of the tunnels. Remember the entrance tunnels? Mm-hmm. So then they would, you would see them open the door and these guys coming out in their gear. So they've been in their wrestling gear in a box with no light, no water, and no food, and presumably no pisser. For a full day, but I just love
in there
that,
with
like,
the wrist tape on.
Oh yeah! So,
oh, this is my
jug in there. That'd be
this
fun.
Is my favorite part. So when I tell you these guys, right?
Yeah.
PCO, Rhino, Moose, Steve Macklin.
Yes.
Like going to the Monsters Ball match, you think like what they'd be wearing? Wrestling gear or like something crazy? Right?
Sure.
PCO is regular garb.
Yeah.
Steve Macklin, black trunks.
Yeah.
Ready for war. Rhino. Got the usual Rhino stuff.
Yeah.
Black wrist tape. He ain't changed that shit since the 90s.
Nah.
Moose. Ready for war. A battle. Yeah. Decides to wear a muscle shirt with his logo on it. And for pants, these flannel skinny jeans. And
they
Jordans.
Look like golf pants.
The fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, and bright red Jordans.
Oh. Obnoxiously red.
Why?
Also, the shirt looked like a dry fit shirt, which really pissed me off.
Yeah. And, like, it was just so fucking hilarious. There was a spot where he put thumbtacks on cinder blocks and suplex PCO on it. One, he missed it because he's too much of a bitch to take the bump into this spot. So he, like, came real short with it. Made fucking PCO. Oh, no, sorry, it was a powerbomb.
Yeah, it was a powerbomb.
It was a powerbomb, not a suplex. So he
this
was too far away from
awful.
It.
Awful.
Still threw him.
Yeah.
PCO took half the bump. Like his back hit half the cinder blocks on the edge.
Yeah.
And his head smacked when he came up. One, the camera cut, so you couldn't see him trying to no sell it. But he just had like 10 tacks in the back of his fucking head.
Well, and he also like missed the big pile.
Yeah.
To the point where like the ref to count whatever, like, just put her hand.
Yeah.
In the pile of tacks.
This is
and
great.
Then, like, in the top left corner of the frame, you just saw the ref go, ow. Like, why would you fucking put your hand in the tacks then, dumbass? Mm-hmm.
I love that.
And he's, like, PCO is, like, rolling around on these tacks to try and get more of them stuck in him. Because he knows that he didn't land on enough of them.
No, that was the thing. He wasn't even rolling around. He was scooting himself.
Yeah.
Scooting. Right?
Small, tiny tangent. When you're in a match and you have any sort of what I will call a prop, right? We all kind of go into those spots thinking, there's a very real possibility this ain't going to fucking work. Mm-hmm. This isn't going to land. It'll slip. I'll slip. Who could... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to prepare for all of your props to go wrong.
Yeah.
And that should honestly be the assumption.
Yeah.
Is that they will. Having said all that, though, we all know the sensation. When you have a prop of any sort, and you have that spot, and it goes perfectly, man, that's a... Even when you're in pain because of it, you still have that, like, satisfying, oh, man.
Dude.
That looked good.
I don't know if I've told the story on the pod, and if I do, I'll do it on the Patreon. But with the me and Mustafa Ali, it's ironic you brought him up earlier. The reason why we had to use a plastic table is because one of our shit broke before the show. Mm, and the fact that we had to adapt and it still worked probably better and more memorable than how it did. I was like, God, so fucking lucky. So lucky. But I don't really have that much, like, prop knowledge, I guess.
It's you guys. It's always terrifying. But, like, if you've got something with, like, a belt, a chair, any sort of a gimmick or anything,
Ooh, trick is say. Always aim for center mass and apologize later.
Kind
of. Like, you have to... I'm... Whenever... Like, the social contract, at least with me, is... You're going through it, or I'm going through it, and it's gonna suck, but it's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen.
I'm big on, like... Especially for, like, the tax or something like that, I'm big on, like... I will tell you the bump I will take in this. I will trust you to put the parts of my body that I want in certain places, I'm trusting you to put them there. And if you do, everything's fine. Everything's cool. If you don't, ooh, this is going to suck both for the fans and for you, my friend.
Like, oh, Tom, I'm going to trust you with my fucking life during this goddamn War Games
match. It's going to be great.
I'm not going to be happy about it.
Yeah, it's great.
Somebody's going to have to, ugh.
Yeah.
The finish to this Monster's Ball match.
Oh, wait, wait. You're missing one of the best parts.
There's more than the flannel pants.
So, Steve Macklin has
a chair. Who is this guy, me?
Oh.
Steve Macklin has a chair. He's on the outside. PCO is bent over.
Okay.
Steve Macklin, for whatever reason, goes to gut PCO.
What?
Like, he's waiting for PCO to, like, sell up so he can gut him.
Okay.
And he's just not doing it. So, he, like, lightly gets him in the gut. So, PCO will just, like, sit there. But instead of bending, staying bent over, PCO decides to stand immediately upright.
Oh.
Have that, look on his face. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm. Yeah.
And then turn 180 degrees, unwarranted, to let Steve Macklin hit his back. And you can see on Macklin's face just how fucking pissed off he is. He's like, God damn it. He hits him with the fucking chair, boom, and then goes into the ring. And you can just see, he's just like, this fucking guy. And then he takes one of the really good fucking rebound chair shots. Like, swinging at somebody.
The Connor Hopkins special. Bah,
bah. Yeah. Yes. Takes a real fucking good one of those. And,
PCO, another Dreamwave alumni, too.
Yeah, sure is.
We forget about that. He had that match with Fowler.
Yeah.
Where I only heard them, like, talking briefly, and I was like, PCO was kind of awesome.
Yeah.
They were, like, right before some important match of mine, because I remember just rewatching theirs over and over again as I was like clipping mine, because Fowler just takes some fucking bullshit in that match.
And dude, and he's bumping PCO in it too, because like I remember talking to Fowler about it afterwards, and I was like, so how was all that, man? He was like, bro, I told him all the shit I want to do, and he just goes, and like just let Fowler get all of it, even though like PCO's a big dude.
Big, yeah, huge. Fucking
bastard.
And speaking of,
yes,
the finish to this Monster's Ball match,
speaking of right, bastards, is one here comes of Bully Ray.
The most fantastically stupid things I've ever seen.
Just comes in.
So first of all, yeah, Steve Macklin is up on the top rope, gonna do something, and there's a barbed wire table that's been set up on the outside ages ago.
Yes,
Bully Ray comes out.
Yes,
walks all the way around the ring, and then gets up on the apron, and then walks right up to Steve Macklin, who's standing on the middle and top rope,
still
going, what are you doing here? No hands on him. Bully Ray just pushes him off, and he takes the back bump halfway through the table, halfway onto the metal grate that's at the base of the fucking ramp. He just... Montez Ford dives, basically.
Oh, God!
But without the flip. I called it total nonstop almost.
Yep.
So, I appreciate the rundown. This is the episode that I watched. You can watch. You can talk about the episode that you watched.
Oh, that's crazy, because I just also so happened to watch this exact block of programming.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's as if we watched it together?
Like, this was on the TV before I got here.
Yeah, what makes you think that?
What?
I thought this episode was going to be a watch-along. I think the people are yearning for more watch-along.
Watch-along. Braden is fuming right now. The steam out of his ears.
No, he's just sad.
Braden, you have notes.
Well, yeah, about my show. We're not done talking about yours.
Thank you, Nina.
And so, I think, like, the only really other thing was... Because that took up a good amount of time. I'd say,
The Rascals versus ABC kind of happened. Rascals they both have ABC. A lot of cool moves. Neither of them are the Moser City Machine Guns, so I don't give a shit.
They're actually all really cool people besides Ace Austin. I don't really know him. The only interactions I've had with him are professional and one douchebag one, but it's okay.
We'll come back to that, because I've worked with Mr. Austin.
Yes. Fucking Chris Bay, love him. Mm. Trey Miguel, love him. Zach, love him. They're awesome. Really good workers and such. Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. They had an awesome match. They weren't the Motor City Machine Gun in 2006, so I don't care.
It's fair.
Bring out the Prophecy. Where's Dan Maff?
And then, as we all know, one of the best TNA matches in the history of Will Ospreay versus Mike Bailey.
Oh.
Really good match.
So now we're just talking about what's happening on the screen.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I'm getting up to that 60-minute mark, Tom.
Gotcha.
Phenomenal match, obviously. And
no problem with Vladimir Kozlov.
Yeah. Oh, a friend of the show, Val, that is the ring announcer for...
Oh, yeah.
Uprising. She was in the front row.
Oh, I thought I saw her, and I was like,
of the 60 minutes that I watched.
What 60 did you watch?
So the I'm saving mine ball for my match hair. Is yes. PCO hits a fucking flip, halfway crooked flip dive onto two people set up. He hits right in between both of them, misses both of them perfectly, just wins.
I love the idea that you came in right at that spot. That is the universe.
No, we just didn't talk about the actual finish, I needed to talk about it.
So, also, I'm trying to figure out what that jacket says, and it's troubling to me.
Frankie by God Kazern.
I read something else.
It really looked like something else, man.
Thank you. Wait, so he's got two tables set up with two people on them, or no?
No, Rhino is holding a chair on his stomach. Terrified. Yeah. Absolutely stiff as a board. Does not want to be landed on.
Sure.
The person who's not Steve Macklin in this match.
Moose,
yeah. Is closer.
Okay.
He's going to do a front flip, presumably, onto both of them. But he does the crooked fucking this thing. He lands parallel to them, right in between both of them. It was beautiful. You couldn't have fucked it up better.
Incredible.
Total nonstop.
Almost.
Yep. But anyway, I also broke up my hour because I thought that would be an interesting little whatever. So I started on my lunch break. And it was Bound for Glory, Josh Alexander versus Alex Shelley. Let's fucking go.
That sounds fucking stellar.
And it was awesome. They did a bunch of fucking shit, but at one point they did a Alex Shelley hits the sliced bread, but Josh Alexander just pops up all the way to his feet and just deadlifts him up to a German and then hits the Chaos Theory. It? And I was like,
basically,
yeah. But it was like so seamless. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
So would you not consider that a Fighting Spirit type moment? That would be more of a he rolled through the maneuver. And if so. Yes. What is the qualifying line?
And here's the thing. I do have a line with Fighting Spirit. I just don't like the concept of it really at this point anymore. The line that I have is, if you take a fucking... Will Ospreay does this, I will say too much. But conceptually, just in a vacuum, psychologically, I can deal with you take a reverse Rana and you hit the fucking Hidden Blade and collapse. And you're
sure.
Done.
Sure. The momentum is taking you to here.
Momentum takes you to your feet. You
rush.
Yeah, but you cannot capitalize.
Sure,
I can take that. You know, I can great deal with I can deal with desperation something. That's a great trope to me. Desperation blank is, but to me this one was more of a roll through. I also do think it would have been better if he just hit the German instead of the Chaos Theory and then collapsed. I was thinking that, but I was like, that's just hot.
Yeah.
That's just hot.
I was on the edge of my seat, and then the fourth buffer of this match happened and came back after the finish. Fuck you, Pluto. John Pluto deserves to be tried.
Fuck you!
Because
Pluto!
Alex Shelley rules. That's no surprise, but he won. Huh. That was great. But I didn't see how.
Probably pretty cool.
Yeah. There was a weird-ass TNA video package, and it had Kaz coming out of the water with a box. And then I was like, oh, this is probably the beginning of another pay-per-view, because that was probably the main event.
Right.
And then my lunch break ended. I was like, 20 minutes down. All right.
At least 40 more to go. Let's go. Baby.
Yeah. So I tuned back in six man. I think it might have been eight man action. Tag team action. I don't know. I didn't write down all the competitors.
Sure.
It was like right in the middle of the match. But it was like the quote unquote champions challenge or whatever. So I guess it was like a team of champions and then a team of potential challengers. And
I love that as a concept, and I wish more places did it. It's such an easy thing to do for TV.
Yeah.
Just get your four champions, your main event, your mid card, and your tag champions on one team, and then put the number one contenders on the other team. And just have them do, that's your all-star.
Oh, I love
A-man.
That. Yeah, that's and awesome.
If anyone pins a champion, they get a shot at that championship. Beautiful. Love brilliant.
Love. That's
stone simple.
How am I not familiar with this?
It's Ooh. Such an easy concept that never gets done for some reason. And I think it's because the mindset is you don't want to waste all of your champions on
you would have to have a strong enough card outside of that match to make the show.
I love the idea of, you know, obviously that gives a reason for guys to like break up pins and stuff like that, but breaking up your own team's pin so you can get your shot at the championship.
Like there's that. A lot you could
like
do
that
with
as
it.
Well. Sorry.
But they actually did sort of the reverse of what you're saying, because just to your point of there being so much that you could do, Leon Slater hits the Swanton 450 on Ali.
Maybe currently, for me personally, that might be the best finisher in wrestling.
Yeah, it's real
because
good.
It's pretty fucking sick.
And like every time, you know
clean.
What I mean? Every time it's clean, every time it's awesome, every time it's just like, for lack of a better term, awe inspiring. Mm. Like, because to me, a good Swanton is hard to do.
Yeah,
a 450 is tremendously difficult.
To do both of those things in the same... Like, he truly went on fucking invent a finisher in SmackDown vs. Raw 2011.
Right.
And he made himself a goddamn crazy-ass top rope move.
And has gotten, like... I'm not going to say that that's the only thing, but at the same time, that like he's kind of made a career off of it. Like Leon Slater's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
I'm not
he's
saying
he's great,
like,
but he
I'm
has
not saying
an
he's
awesome
bad without,
finish.
But, like, and has... Like, fuck, man. Like, you can't think of that guy without thinking of, like, oh, man, he does that fucking crazy fucking splash.
Yeah. But, so he hits the Swanton 450.
People will buy tickets to see that.
Yeah.
You're right.
So, I actually worked with him before.
Is it cool?
Really fucking cool. Super smart. When I worked with him, he was only 19. It was the first time that I went over to England. He was 19 years old, bro, and he was so smart, so, like, quick with it. Like, making the match took not even fucking 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it was so good. And now, just like, now, dude.
He's probably one of those guys, too, that's like sneaky young.
He is insanely good. And yeah. I know for a fact, as soon as that TNA deal is up.
Oh, my God.
WWE's immediately grabbing him. I'm going to make him and fucking Javon a tag team, or Javon's going to be a really good U.S. champion.
Like.
Because Leon is the fucking guy. You can put the belt on, any belt on him, and he will make it. Like, you're saying how tears and shit like that?
Mm.
Like,
he was saying,
he would, oh, sorry. We're talking about tears and shit and championships and whatnot. He's the type of guy that will rise to that top tier. It's
big style.
It will never bring it down. And if, for whatever reason, it's like, oh, the championship is at a lower level, so now he is able to obtain it, he'll bring that shit right back up.
I love it.
I watched him and fucking Michael Oku go 45 minutes and God.
Is that the one? No, it was Oku and Ospreay that.
Okay.
That one was another.
Brother, that's just Michael Oku going 45 minutes. Also love him, but that motherfucker takes his time.
Oku's also like one of those underrated. Mm-hmm. Like, how the fuck is that guy not on TV? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I can go on for days about him, too.
Foot on the ropes via manager.
Okay.
Refs with the manager. Someone else passes the international championship to Ali. Who goes to hit it, Leon ducks, ref turns around, he goes to hit him the other way, ref grabs it, what the hell, hits the kick, tags in his other tag team partner who hits something else and pins Ali. So he gave the championship opportunity to his tag team partner, I can't remember what his name was.
Okay.
But I'm like, that's fun.
Sure.
That's cool.
I'm kind of surprised that, like, I know we just touched on it a few minutes ago, but, like, as a concept, like, even, especially for TNA... Because TNA is so big on those fucking concept matches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that that's not become one, there's so many fucking stories you can tell with that. Like, that one match can set up 3 months of television.
I've wanted Dreamwave to do that for a while.
That'd be amazing.
Because that would just be a crazy...
Especially if you then lean further into the heel face, yep, like, alliance per team thing. Mm. Like, that could be fucking awesome stuff.
Yeah. Like, imagine if they had done that while you were Dreamwave champion and, like,
Oh, man, so, like, depending on the Gringo time frame... Gringo
had the X Division. Alternative championship. And because you already had that.
Sure.
Sort of, yeah, anyway.
So at various points, it would have been, like, me, Gringo, and, oh, let's say, the Hype against... Yeah.
That's insane already.
Yeah. What does that look like? That match is not going to be great.
Gringo and the Hype versus Connor, the new guys, and about 75 luchadors. So good luck.
It's Connor. It's Connor, the new guys, and the three guys that would be in the four way with me.
Yes. They all have to separately tag in and out to be one person. It's like a weird subset of tags.
It's me, Bobby Orlando, and a random luchador from Chicago.
Love it.
I had an ad break halfway through this that was lengthy.
Mm.
I had an ad break after this match ended. And after the ad break, they put the Pluto TV logo up for 30 uninterrupted seconds. And I'm like, I'm on it. I am on it.
That's a good breathing
moment. I would rather Nicole Kidman.
I was going to say, this is your Nicole Kidman moment.
I love Nicole Kidman. Dude, because it's supposed to be a cinematic adventure, god damn it.
I lose my shit every time.
Tom, we are not missing the previews.
Yeah, I know.
God damn it. Last time we walked into a movie, it was literally as the last fucking producer's logo was fading. And I said, he can't keep getting away with this. He skips the god... I love the previews. I love being like, I'll go see that one. Mm, not for me. Oh my god, he's still acting? Oh my god, they're not dead? Like, I love that shit, bro.
I love sitting down being like, the movie's starting.
Yeah, I mean, he got a taste of his own medicine when he showed up an hour early to a movie. He just sat in the parking lot.
That was not great.
So
you reap what you sow.
You also can't rewind on
right. The
Pluto app, which really pisses me off for the next match. But it's okay, I guess, because in hindsight, why would I want to rewind anything with Tessa Blanchard in it?
Oh, no.
Tessa Blanchard versus Harley Hudson. I had not heard of her. She's great. She sells really well. Okay. Like, her legs specifically throughout this specific match. But I was like, dude, are you, like, actually hurt?
Right.
And, like, just powering through. Like, she does this spot where she's got, like, her in the World's Strongest Slam.
Mm.
And she's got just one foot. She's just holding her with just the one foot. And then she slowly is able to put enough pressure to fully execute the fallaway slam. I'm like, all right, we're cool. Telling stories.
I like that. Here.
And Tessa Blanchard sucks. No. It's fine. She wins with a hammerlock DDT, and I'm like, I knew you were going to win, but a hammerlock DDT? You just wanted to make the hook harder and the move hit less?
Do you remember...
Jobber finisher.
Yeah.
What was that?
Jobber finisher.
That's so funny you said that, because I was about to say, do you guys remember when that was Andrade's finish?
Yeah, jobber finisher.
NXT? But then sometimes he wouldn't, like, if you're going to do the hammerlock DDT... You would think there's some little transition to before the move, right? I remember Andrade would, like, gut kick and just pull someone's arm behind their back and fucking drop them, and it was always so funny to me.
Because, like, it's bullshit having to do all that shit.
Because also, he would put the fucking leg behind their leg.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you want this to be the lamest, hardest hook to move ever?
Like, I don't hate the move if it's just, like, an every so often somebody does it thing.
Yeah.
Especially if, like, if you're working an arm or something, I don't know. But, like, that being someone's routine finish, I'm like...
But it doesn't even target the arm.
I guess not. I don't know. Just, like, it just, it being, like, a finish is so odd. It's like a... Yeah.
They then go to an injury report. I was blown away.
I don't hate that.
They have three people out.
Yeah.
One of them is the, like, I think it was Steve Macklin again, who, he got, like, shoot knocked out at that recent show or whatever.
He got by fucking,
and then there was a couple,
Mike Santana.
Yeah. There was that one, and then there was a couple, I believe, worked ones.
Yeah.
Because it was like, oh, why was Moose laid out in the back? But I'm like,
sure.
You're doing a sponsored injury report, and one of them is shoot? I don't know if I, It was just wild to see that.
You know, you saying that, I would love if, like, say, you know how SportsCenter has, like, the little band at the bottom, or, like, news shit and whatnot? I would love it at the beginning of an episode when they're like, yo. In my wrestling, you go to the commentary team first.
Sure.
Commentary team opens up the show.
Gotcha.
So, like, as the commentary team's talking, like, underneath that banner is, like, oh, injured superstars, and it names, like, all the people that won't be there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just to give it, like, a little bit more
sports
of a...
sports feel.
Yeah, you know?
I like that. I got more ads. So then my main event here is Channing Stax Lorenzo.
What?
Yeah, guys! It's me, Channing Stax Lorenzo.
That's Tom's guy for whatever reason.
Yeah!
Facing his father-in-law.
Yeah.
Santino Marella.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, you haven't been keeping up with the product, huh?
No!
No! So here's what I do know. This is a weird thing that I know about current NXT. There is a faction in current NXT that is called the Birthright that is largely composed of second-generation wrestlers, most of which who do not have their parents' name because it's the WWE.
Yeah. Great
well, they
name
create
for a faction.
I agree.
They want to create their own legacy, Tom.
There it is.
Yeah, they're trying that. Legacy was a stable back in the day. Second generation superstars.
And you know what they're missing? Manu.
We need more Manu. So, Manu-er. Guess what? Channing Stax Lorenzo is in this group, even though he's a first generation guy, because he is engaged to Santino Morella's
That's good
daughter.
Heat. That's good
I
heat.
Like that.
And that's
I
good
kind
fucking
of think
heat.
The Tracy Smothers of that's, Birthright?
That's real good fucking heat.
I actually think it's fucking brilliant.
You know, one person said, that's just Tracy Smothers, and they said, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly why we're doing it.
Wait a minute.
Unfortunately, this match is kind of nothing.
Mm.
Because it's... So, you, okay. Son-in-law versus father-in-law, right? With a build.
Sure.
They have been building to this.
Yeah.
Not on pay-per-view, because this is just television. They're building
this
to Slam... This
view.
Is
yeah.
building to Slammiversary.
This is on the Owl Channel.
Yeah. This match ends... Well, first of all, it starts with a lockup.
I'm not going to acknowledge it.
Whatever.
I'm not going to acknowledge it.
It is then Santino Marella doing a lot of... A long shine with a couple of soft stops.
Okay.
And then he gets rolled up.
And that's just it?
Yeah. Because... And then there's some
so
fucking Channing post...
Channing bumps around and then just wins?
Yeah. And then...
It's good heat.
Yeah.
Santino... Okay, so there's this post-match thing where it's like he's trying to talk to his daughter or whatever. His daughter's yelling at him or whatever. And she goes to strike him. He catches it. And it looks like he is about to beat his daughter.
Okay.
And Channing Stax Lorenzo stacks every time.
Yes.
Cuts him off, right?
Okay.
Indy Hartwell makes the save, and it sets up a tag match for next week.
Stay
and then
tuned.
I was like, I'm pretty sure I went over my hour by a little bit, but I'm not going to cut it off at the end of the fucking thing.
All right.
That was my initial plan, was wherever it stops in that hour, I'm stopping. Like, I don't care if I don't have a finish or not.
Well, I didn't have the finish for my first match that I saw, which pissed me off. But anyway.
Good thing you had the finish for my second match.
So, fucking buckle up, buckaroos, because I got fucking tirades and tangents and all kinds of talking points here. 60 minutes of Pluto TNA.
Did you break it up at all?
No.
Good.
And in fact, to add to the insanity, yesterday I worked an open-to-close shift.
He sure did. He let me off early, too. Appreciate you.
I sure did. I worked an open-to-close shift, which ended on me having to take a delivery after we had closed from La Grotto's to fucking Utica.
No.
I assure you.
Sorry, Tom.
Then I realized I hadn't clocked out. Then I realized I could just do that tomorrow, but I'll probably forget. So I did have to go back to work for 30 seconds and then come home. Then I dedicated myself to watching 1 hour of TNA on Pluto.
So you're in a headspace going into this.
I am. And I have clear, somewhat clear, various degrees of clear documentation ink on paper.
And just to add to this, Tom came in about an hour 10 late from when he was supposed to because of work.
Yeah.
And so he's already hot. So that just adds on to this.
Oh, yeah.
Adds on.
I had written down, it is late. I am tired. I am high. Because the moment that I got home, that pen was on my mouth.
I can't wait for somebody just to clip that.
Thank you.
It was on my mouth. Oh, God, they got me, too.
Dude, you're trying to make it sound like I think Coolsville sucks.
Monsters Unleashed.
Fuck.
Scooby-Doo 2, kids.
Wrote down, and I did do this. I wrote down, I'm going to try to adjust for commercials. Where I was like, I'm going to try to watch 60 minutes of the fucking product, right? I started this at 12:26 last night. I hit start, and then I had to immediately write down, because John Pluto had betrayed me. Oh no, it's pandemic era TNA.
Fuck it.
Oh no.
They don't get any good classic shit?
No. They don't play shit on the fucking Pluto John anymore.
I had to watch 1 hour of pandemic era TNA, and when I tell you that there's a hope spot in this endeavor, I'd have a beer. It's an awful hope spot in the sense that it's so effective because it gave me hope. Dude. I wrote down, God damn you, God, you've ruined my life for the last time. This entire show that I started, like, right before the end, like, the end of the episode or whatever, because it's just a random whatever. It's the Rascals' farewell.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay.
They're that Matt Cade's booking, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, they sure did. Because I'm like, I think
well,
all of you
have elsewhere.
Gone back several times. That's whatever. That's hindsight's 2020. So it's the Rascals' farewell is the theme of the episode. There are zero fans.
Yeah.
And all I could think was how we all lived through this, but it was the worst. Like, your debut was during this time period.
Yeah.
That's insane.
As seen on the film debut.
We always had crowds. When I was wrestling.
I'm thinking
which is very, very unprofessional.
I was going to say, I'm thinking about redacting a lot of that documentary now, because a lot of it's like, we only waited 3 months before training started up again. And I went, ooh, wow, we didn't take COVID precautions very seriously.
Nobody did. Well, but here's the thing, though. Like, I don't think that you need to think of it like, when I was watching this show, it just made me think of, like, your debut, your documentary, shit like that, and like what wrestling was, because I was like, everyone was just kind of doing the best they could with what we had, and I was like, I started thinking about like that, how did people approach it? Because I'm like, okay, TNA was just doing this shit. Is it an empty building? The Fed started that, and then it was the
Thunderdome
groups, and then it was the Thunderdome eventually. AEW didn't have, like, a cheat code, but they kind of did because they had Daily's Place that was big enough that you could just shoot groups of, you know,
and they had
six fans or eight or whatever.
They had workers standing in the crowd.
But they had that one central location
yeah.
that was able to have people in a way where you could still have some
mm-hmm. yeah.
crowd noise. This was painful. To me, like wow. I felt bad watching this because, and it is not because of the actual workers, right? Like I just said, we were all doing the best we could with what, like your debut show would have been. Your debut match was in front of, was it 50-ish people, less than 100?
Yeah, probably
at a venue that normally drew double that, if not more. But even that was like up in the air. Like I remember Anarchy was gonna run this weird version of like a G1 because that would allow for less people to be in the building, and then that didn't happen. Like everybody was just trying shit to see what it would be.
I remember that Anarchy bit.
Yeah, I didn't get to do one of those.
Whatever. Yeah,
I was excited for that. But, like, okay, so this match. So it's Wentz and Dez against Rich Swann and Trey Miguel. And I think it's Josh Matthews is on commentary, and I want to say it's it's a woman. I want to say it's Velvet Sky. Was Veda Scott doing commentary for TNA in 2020? I honestly didn't catch who it was, and they never cut to him because I'm sure that this commentary was recorded.
Oh, this is a post-up for sure.
And you can tell.
Yeah, like, everything. I remember, like, that pandemic era TNA specifically because, like, especially in the early going, it was just so stark.
Yeah.
How quiet everything was, and they weren't doing anything to mask it, and it was just, like... But that's kind of what everyone was doing. I think TNA kind of found their niche because they were, like, they started playing, like, crowd noise.
Sure.
Just to, like, kind of drown out the silence in between stuff.
And for a taped show, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Live shows do it.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. They've been doing it since the 90s. Like... So, like, this match, like, everything that I hated about this experience for me, I couldn't blame on the people on screen, which then kind of made it even worse.
Yeah, because you need to be angry at something.
Right. Angry at John Pluto. He should be tried for the scam he is running.
Oh, dude, I ended up probably putting in, I think, we'll get there when I get there. I think I wrote down the time when I stopped watching. Because I added time to compensate for the commercials, and the commercials were so frequent and so lengthy. This match, they do everything. Yeah. It's just, it's four, it's three best friends, and then their very good friend, Rich Swann.
Yeah.
Like, very good friend, Rich Swann.
You know what I mean? Like, he's the only odd man out, so to speak, but at the same time, it's just them doing stuff. It's excellent. It's that style
of
wrestling.
It's exactly what you would expect from... This is our farewell match at a company.
In like, front of nobody.
Yeah.
That's the shit that, like, the shit that made this painful was, like, they really do the whole emotional send-off. Like, these guys are crying and looking out and doing the whole, like, salute to the fans, and there's no one there and there's no sound, and I can't be mad at them for doing it, because in hindsight, you're like, why would you ever fucking do that? I remember what 2020 was like, and it was like, we don't know. Like,
do you think wrestling should have just taken a hiatus?
Yes!
And it should have just been, here's the classics?
Let's give everybody a breather. Let's give everybody's bodies a breather.
Because I think if they would have dedicated that, if TNA specifically would have dedicated that time that they spent to running shows and whatever, and I understand, like, you want guys to wrestle or whatever, but, like, just pay your guys to stay home.
Sure.
And, like, just air, here, we're going to film interviews with guys about their favorite matches in TNA history, and here's your program for this evening. It is curated by Brian Myers. Here's my six favorite TNA matches.
TNA could have done that.
And what they mean to me.
Yeah.
WWE does that on their fucking vaults, actually, which is crazy,
and like,
on YouTube.
It's just, it's, wrestling is nonstop content. That's all that it is. It just generates content.
A flaw.
There was enough in 2020... that a lot of places, I don't think the indies, you know, necessarily could have afforded to stop running.
No.
Like, I don't blame some indie companies for doing what they did. You know, again, they were doing what they best had. Yeah. But, like...
TNA could have done it. WWE could have done it easily.
Imagine the difference in the whole industry if it had happened.
Oh, like, it would have changed everything.
Like,
AEW would have been fucked. They would have had to go to Daily's place.
Yep.
Because Dynamite, at the time of, like, the pandemic, is
less
6 months old.
Yeah, like...
That's crazy.
AEW is the only one that I'm like, they absolutely did what they did out of necessity, and I think that's why their product from that time holds up the most.
Oh, their shows creatively were actually really fucking great at that time period.
Oh, yeah. I liked the AEW pandemic product.
Yeah, it was a good product.
It felt like a good use of, we are all locked in this space together. Like... It somehow reflected what I felt like was the vibe at that point, which is like, we're all locked in this space together, like, here's what we can do with the tools that we have at our disposal. It felt like, I don't know, there's something about specifically that AEW period that I feel like not a lot of other places got similarly as right.
I wrote down, I am begging for this episode to end and for a new one to start. I just could. I was like, I can't believe. Also, this was so late last night that I was like, I don't even have time tomorrow to watch 60 minutes. I have to stay. This has to be it, right? I then wrote down, TNA hates itself. Because when this match ends and they're doing the big emotional send-off, I'm like, you guys are making it. The vibe is very much like, they're going to a good place.
Yeah.
They're really moving up. They finally fucking made it.
Good for them. They're getting
out of here, yeah.
This yeah, good for you guys for not having to work with me anymore. Like, yeah. Shit like that. And I was like, why do you only ever advertise yourself?
I am only burying talent on the way out of my company.
Oh my god.
You suck the moment you leave my company.
Oh, it gets even more suck. I actually wrote down, my next note just says, this stinks.
This stinks.
They film them going to the back after the match, and I'm talking Mania style exit, like, to nobody.
Well, they
like,
gotta film.
Bye, guys, something. And they're crying and shit, and I'm like, god damn, man. They go to the back, they get attacked by, as I wrote down, two dudes that I then realized, oh shit, that's Sammy Callahan and Ken Shamrock?
Why is Ken Shamrock jumping people?
I don't know.
Part of it.
So they beat up these guys that are all, like, leaving the company except for Rich Swann backstage. Then a new episode started, and I wrote down, thank God there are fucking fans now.
And so now where do you find yourself?
The show is from the, is it Cicero Arena that they run in Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Naomi's debut.
Okay.
Debut match as Trinity. And I was like, interesting, good, cool. There's fans. They're into it. It is Naomi. It's Naomi, whatever. Versus Killian King? Killian King, thank you. She's in this tag team called The Covenant with Taylor Wilde. The tag team seems to just be, we are two women and we have a spooky aesthetic. Because there wasn't any, like, spooky Covenant anything from either of them during
Taylor
this.
Wilde doesn't strike me as spooky gimmick.
No. Not at all. This was great. I thought this match was fucking excellent, and I really, really liked it. Like,
Trinity is real good.
She's so good.
Yeah.
And has been good for a long time.
Yeah. She has that, like, specifically, like, the difference between good and great wrestlers is, like, the way that they can snap off their own offense.
She's
and,
explosive.
Yeah, you know, like, she just has that, like, it looks like she is doing wrestling moves to people.
With an intent.
Yes, to and win not a just, you are cooperating with me so that we can execute this maneuver together because it is part of the thing that we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's, even when she was just doing, like, the rear view.
Yeah.
She calls that the rear view maggle. I was like, no one else can make a flying ass attack look like it legitimately might knock you the fuck out.
Yeah.
Please, I don't think it. I've seen someone Please kick out of that, it. But if I did, it would piss me off. Because it's the most viable finish.
Yeah, like, it's just, I don't know. Like, Trinity, but, Naomi, whatever you call her, excellent.
So good.
But. No, that's why it's the finish.
Yes.
The but.
I wrote down at this point, because I liked the venue. I liked the way that Cicero looked on TV with this level of production. I wrote down, I wish Tony Khan would run ROH there.
Yep.
Like,
bring ROH to smaller arenas around please. The country. Run the Norfolk Scope. Run the BMO Harris Bank Center in Rockford.
You're going to love this, because I actually wrote down a tangent. Imagine if the new wrestling war, if Tony Khan was like, you know what, I've got money. I'm going to start running those venues that Connor Hopkins just listed. What if the new wrestling war in 2027 was Ring of Honor versus TNA?
And I'm going to beat you out of all the small arenas.
Tell me that's not plausible.
Yeah.
And they're both smaller tiered companies that are, let's be honest, backed by enormously bigger companies. And then they're just doing this small town shootout.
Hey, Taker, we need you to come over here.
Oh, no!
Come on up, Northway.
Come book for us over here in TNA. We need you to make this product actually a
watchable,
yeah.
Dude, the fucking imagine the movie in my mind. ROH has declared victory over TNA, but the TKO executives are like, we can't. There's so many initials. The TKO executives are like, we can't let this lie. We got to bring him in. We got to get on the phone to and get a hold of the dead man.
Gotta get Mark Calloway down there at So, Tom, is that what your 60 Minutes concluded with then?
No! This got worse. There's a Wrestler's Court segment because this is pandemic era shit, so we can't just have.
You gotta worry about a hung jury, you gotta worry about a hung judge.
There's a shit ton of recap videos. There's this Wrestler Court thing. There's another tag match with Kiara Hogan and Tasha Steele against
the team called the
Sea Stars. I don't know. I'm
sure she's in Ring of Honor.
Is she?
Pretty sure, yeah.
Huh. You live there now.
Hey, listen, I would love to live in Ring of Honor Purgatory. I can do jobs in the Pure Division like no one else. Tony Khan, please. I will sit in catering. I don't give a fuck about wrestling anymore.
Connor Hopkins can tap out to a top wrist lock, and ain't nobody else ever done that.
I will tap out to a headlock. I don't care. What are we doing? What is this?
What's going on?
What happened to the sport that I love?
At this point, it's getting pretty late.
Sorry, there's no L in Hamlet anymore. They gave it to the GBTQ.
So it's just Hamlet?
Hamnet.
Hamnet.
Where'd the end
go? One battle after another. What's going on? What is it?
I love SNL.
I'm so genuinely much. Asking. I didn't see that film.
That was kind of my mindset during this match because I actually just wrote down wrestling has occurred. This show is endlessly padded. They hype this Wrestler's Court thing. They do this Wrestler's Court thing. It's in regards to someone being shot.
Yeah, someone shot
Johnny Bravo.
Yes, people die on.
Who's the guy in the
which I do kind of enjoy.
Right.
Amazing.
I do enjoy that they kill. They legitimately used to kill people on TNA.
There was a really, really good joke about the Johnny Bravo being shot thing where they show him, quote, in a coma. He's in a twin-sized bed up against a wall at someone's fucking house filming this. But Scott D'Amore walks in and the doctor goes, the doctor comes in and says, I have good news. And Scott D'Amore goes, oh no, he's going to make it, isn't he? And the doctor's like, yeah. And Scott D'Amore's like, damn. And I thought that was fucking
he's
going to
be all right.
Yeah.
Oh, you're taking this news remarkably well.
No.
Considering
his left
he had to
skull.
Cut off his left arm. He's going to be all right.
Neck off.
My show ended on the following notes. I wrote down, I'm so close. I also wrote down, this company won't stop sucking the Fed's dick. I wrote down, dude, I don't deserve this. I've done no wrong. I hate this. It's cheap and it's unfunny. I can be fair about the pandemic era shit. Yeah. I get it, but the whole Wrestler's Court thing was just so long.
I bet Tommy Dreamer was there.
He was. He was the judge.
Oh, my God.
D'Lo Brown
know
was also there.
Was.
DeLorean Brown. Jake Something was the bailiff. Like
I like that.
Yeah.
Put Jake Something on my TV. How about it?
Sure.
What you know about Jake Something?
Dangerous Jake Doyle now. Or no, wait.
Do you know Jake? Who?
Jake Something.
What's his name?
Jake Something.
Son. Yeah.
That's legit how it started, because he had like a weird last name, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And
is that it?
No one knew how to say it, so he just started calling himself Jake Something.
I had a match with him, and he had to like give me a note on how to take the body block, like the big jumping Vader thing that he does, and I was like, okay, why are you telling me this? And he goes, I've had people not do it right, and it broke their nose. And I was like, oh, God! Like...
Journey Pro.
Also, have you fucked up? Yes, you were there. Yeah.
More wrestlers.
In the shadow of where Owen Hart died.
Yeah.
More wrestlers should tell other people how to take their moves properly.
I agree.
I get sick of explaining it. No, that comes up as a trivia fun fact of mine, is I have wrestled in the shadow of where Owen Hart died.
Oh,
Jesus.
Heavens.
Wow.
And on that note, let's shut this bad boy down.
Yeah.
Shut the shit down. What are we?